Best day ever! Hey, let's all stand up again. Isn't it awesome? It's fitness training at church. Hey, here's what we want to do. I want you to hold your hands down by your side. And then I want you to breathe slowly. Not yet, just breathe slowly and lift them up. And as you do that, thank God for the breath. Calm your mind. Just thank God for your breath. Ready? Gun jumpers. Always the rebels. All right, let's try it. Let's do it together. Just nice and slow and concentrate on this breath that God has given you and thank Him for it. So here we go. Go ahead. He gives you breath every moment. Then put your arms down. Let's do it again. And be grateful for that. Lift them back up. Thank God for it. Let's do it one more time. Just do it on your own. Just let it. When you put your arms down, go ahead and sit down. You know why we want to do that? Because someday you won't breathe here anymore. Your body is decaying. No matter what we do, our body is decaying and our breath will end here. The resurrection is all about getting breath again in a body. But it's much more than that. So I want you to understand, perhaps for the first time, perhaps in a greater way, the power of the resurrection. And what it means in our life in every way. Sorry. Because if I understand that the living God can do what is impossible, bring life to a dead person, He can certainly handle the living things you go through. You know, how many have been hearing this thing about fake news? If you've been following some of the news channels, and I do, I flip through, not on TV. I did like the old school right here. A lot of us wouldn't even know what that means. But if we watch news on television, I usually watch it on my computer, and I go through like four different channels. And you know what? Everybody reports different things. And there's an agenda behind the reporting. Well, what's come to be known by one of the commentators, probably about 4 or 5 years ago, he came up with the term fake news. And so now it's become very popular. Fake news is the twisting of real news. And real news is simply the authentic telling or retelling of an event. The authentic, real telling of an event is called news. Fake news is the twisting to a degree of the retelling of that event to get across a particular point that you want. It's a deception. Fake news goes all the way back, even though it's popular to talk about now, it goes all the way back to the garden. When the devil took the real news of what he spoke to Adam and Eve, and the devil twisted it to put doubt in their mind, to put fear, to change the way they look at it, and they bought it. It's been going on for a long time. The resurrection and our faith is built on actual events. It's the retelling of what took place by eyewitnesses. By first the ladies who went to the tomb to anoint Jesus thinking he was dead and he wasn't there and angels appeared to him. Then they turn and they retold this event to the apostles and the disciples who didn't believe it, who thought it was nonsense. But they went anyway and they saw the event. And then over time, over a dozen times, Jesus appeared to hundreds of people at certain occasions. Numerous people in other occasions. A couple of dudes on a street another time. It was the authentic retelling of the story. That is why your testimony is so important. The telling and the retelling of an event that God has done in your life is authentic and real. That's how the Word of God still goes out into the world. It's through our stories. And if you gussy it up and change it around and make fake news out of it, it's not near as effective. When people get on the podium and act like they got it all together because they got Jesus, you look at that and it's not real news. It's like, is that real or is that fake? Because I got Jesus and I go through all kinds of stuff. What is that? Is it real news, fake news? I'm telling you, the resurrection is real news. It's been passed down to us generation. We're the generation that retells it. But not only by shoving a Bible in somebody's hand, by our stories. So I'll tell you the story. Jesus changed my life. There's still a lot of changing. Why? Because Joe is involved. I carry a lot of dead Joe with me. And when I don't understand living God and living Jesus and what He's doing, I also oftentimes refer to dead Joe and see what he thinks I should do. And I get dead stuff from it. See, I just reported to you real news. It's the actual retelling of my part of my story. Don't ever be ashamed of the hard parts of your story as if those can't be retold because it demeans God. No, it makes Him authentic. It makes you authentic. That's why your lifestyle ought to line up somewhat with what you're telling them is the story. I got Jesus. Well, how come you live like you got the devil? How many of us have rejected Christianity for a point in our lives because of Christians? They talk about this. I've had many people, you know, I don't really do the religious thing. I'm spiritual. Whatever that means. Whatever. You know, I went to church, but there were hypocrites there. Like, dude, so are you. Let's be authentic in our retelling of the story. Yeah, you're telling their story. The problem, see, with us telling other people's stories is we only know part of it. But we can paint a big picture, can't we? We can be the jury, we can condemn them like crazy because we know their story. No, you don't. You only know part of it. It's, you know, and the part you're telling, it sucks. But, you know, I could tell your story that way too. So resurrection is amazing because it handles the problem we all have. And that's the problem is we're going to die. A dead person doesn't need good advice. They need to be healed. And none of us can do it. We're incapable. Even the miracles Jesus did in people's lives, they still died because that's part of being here. Resurrection is return. In fact, here's what resurrection means. The word resurrection means this. It's a noun and it means to rise from the dead, to bring what was dead to life. But it means more than that. Resurrection means to restore life. I don't know if you have that one. It means to restore life to its former condition and existence. That means when you are resurrected, when God resurrects us, He not only resurrects the body, He resurrects it so that it can go back to its former condition and life. Our former condition prior to dying is to live on a planet, is to live amongst other people, is to do life. That's our existence. Let's use the analogy of a car. If I were to take a car, an old, old beat-up car, and restore it, and resurrect the engine, and do all the work to it, that car is completely useless if I don't put it on the road to its former condition. It would just be the smallest house ever. Resurrection means to restore the life to its former condition and environment. But Jesus even takes it a step farther when he speaks of resurrection. He takes it as a resurrection. Well, let's look at slide 2. Resurrection means a return to a physical body in a physical universe on a physical earth. If that does not happen, it's not truly a resurrection. That's why you are not a spirit housed in a physical body. You are spirit, soul, and body. You are not whole without your body. You were designed to have a body. So Jesus, however, takes it even greater than that. He adds a dimension that we have not experienced on this earth. He says, and it's eternal. He says this. Jesus' resurrection takes it a step further. His resurrection means an eternal future for the fully restored human beings dwelling on a fully restored earth in a fully restored universe connected to a fully united heaven with this earth. Or there is no good news about Christianity. If that doesn't take place, then there really is no resurrection of the body. Why? Because God, in his wisdom, designed us to have a body. In fact, if this is not true, Paul tells us this in 1 Corinthians 15, 14. If Christ has not been raised with his body, our preaching is useless. The news I tell you is fake news. It's useless to you. It's got some agenda to it that isn't based in reality. I'm not authentically retelling the story, Paul says. And he says, so is your faith. 1 Corinthians 15, 17, same chapter, Paul writes this, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. It means nothing. It's the most important doctrine of the Christian faith. Without that, who cares what Jesus did? He's just another dead dude, like every other religious leader. You can go to all their tombs. He's the only tomb you go to, and no one's there. Yeah. He says, listen, your faith is futile, and you're still in your sins. You're still in your decayed state. He goes, and those who have fallen asleep in Christ, those idiots who have believed this, that have already died in Christ, believing in Christ, he says, what? Are still lost. They ain't gained nothing if I'm selling you fake news. And he says, if only for this life we have hope in Christ. You know, I've heard people say, hey, even if Christianity's false, the lifestyle it commends us to live is still worthwhile. My answer to that is, why? Why would I deny myself any pleasure if it doesn't really amount to nothing? And I'm here 50 years. I may as well drink every night. Why not? I may as well steal and rob your money. Who wants to work? I don't buy that philosophy. If I'm following something false, what's the point? I'd rather live with Joe's thinking. But that's a different subject. And Paul agrees with me, though, he says. If only for this life we hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. What an idiot, he's saying. Look, if Jesus didn't resurrect with a body, our faith is useless. It's based on fake news. Jesus did not resurrect. We are false reporters about God. I'm spreading false news, and you're a goof for hanging out here. That didn't come out English correctly, did it? And not only that, I'm a liar. If Jesus did not resurrect, going to the cross, kind of a stupid thing for him to do, got nothing. Jesus didn't resurrect, and he is still dead, and Christianity is the meanest hoax pulled on people. It is a lie and sadistic. If Jesus did not resurrect, we just spent 30 minutes singing to a dead dude. We prayed to a dead man. We came up here and talked to people that there was hope, because there wouldn't be. We're asking a dead man to help them. Death is the fundamental problem we have. It is the biggest issue we deal with. And Paul finishes that whole thought with this in verse 32. He says, if the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Party on. And some of us, see, we were walking dead. I was living a dead life, and I didn't see any reason. So I did do that. Let us eat, drink, and snort coke till we die. Or whatever you do. Some of us in here, let us eat and just eat, eat, eat. Whatever it is. Those two people left. We won't be seeing. See you at Christmas. But I'll tell you what, when you get this, it changes your life. Because then the stuff that you're living through, if he can do the impossible, the most impossible thing, take a dead body and bring it to life, how can he not be over the living and help that? And that's one of our problems. See, we can say, oh, Jesus rose from the dead. That's real news. But he can't take care of my life. That's fake news. And you will listen to one of those news. You will turn the channel to that. One of those you'll turn the channel to when you're in trouble. Jesus is bigger than this, or that is bigger than Jesus. Both news, one of them's fake, one of them's true. Because this is the deal. God designed us to have a body. It's part of who we are as human beings. In Genesis 2:7, it says this, the Lord God formed the man, or formed humans. You are formed. A human being has been made to be a human being. And he did these components. It says, form the man from the dust of the ground. He gave him a body, flesh, the elements of the place where he is to live. It's our natural being. Death is abnormal to the human being. He says, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. He gave us the Spirit of God. We were connected spiritually. And then he says this, and the man became a living being. He got a soul. The soul is the part that makes me different as a human than you and you from others. It is the identifier of who Joe is, and the identifier of who you are is the soul. Other than that, we'd all just have bodies. And God made two of them, men and women. We've even messed with that. We've tried to change it because that's how broken we get. It is abnormal for us to die. But we can't stop decay. I take minerals, vitamins, powders, change the color of my hair. I'm usually blonde. Dude, even my hair doesn't want to hang out with me no more. No matter what I do, I am marching toward decay. Our spirit is in the same condition. That's sin. Sin killed our spirit. It was an instantaneous death and separation from God. And then our soul, because this triune being God made, became fractured. So the soul is damaged. He wouldn't have been a good God just to come down and restore us spiritually when he made us to have a body. We fit on this earth. Part of the damage is many of us don't fit. We don't feel like we belong here. That's why we tell you guys over and over, he made you on purpose and with a purpose, and he put you in this generation for a purpose. He made us living beings, you know. He added eternal life. When I was younger, I had a religious upbringing. I had a knowledge of God. But to me, resurrection, see, life is always moving. When you're living, you're in movement. Death is static. But I had the idea of resurrection that it would be, we'd be going to church all the time. We'd live in church 24 hours a day. It's like, you know, that resurrection thing. Because I had it as a stagnant thing. No. We have eternal life. That means we'll be moving forward. We'll be living. It'll be an adventure all the time. What is this life? How many know on Sunday afternoons, it's like, okay, I start feeling sick. Monday's coming. And you start tripping about going to work tomorrow. Even Disneyland, happiest place on earth. Not if you're an adult. I was there a month ago with the grandkids. I didn't see one happy parent or grandparent. And that's the best we can do. The happiest place on earth. A third of the rides are closed. I don't think I've been to Disneyland the last five times when Pirates of the Caribbean was open. It ain't that freaking hard of a ride. It's a roller coaster in water that barely goes. You know, yo ho yo. It's like, what breaks in here? Have you been on It's a Small World? You know, those animatronics went out in like 57. They say, yeah, it's a small world. Too small, shoot me. Kill me before that ride ends. And that's the best we can do. Hey, you ever try to keep a four-year-old in a... And they even tell you how long the line is now just to get you. 50 minutes, a four-year-old in a line of 50 minutes. That's just sheer torture. And you know the young one? You know the ropey rails they have at Disneyland? He's gnawing on it. It's like, toot! Do you mind knowing how many millions of hands have been on that? You're carrying about 6,000 diseases home tonight. Happiest place on earth. That's the best we can do. God is doing us a favor. Let him die. Get him out of that craziness. But not only us. It tells us in Romans 8:21, the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. What is the glory of the children of God? We get our bodies back. We live eternally. We are resurrected to the original form God designed us to be. And to have the adventure of that. Then in the next verse, he says this, we know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth up to the present time. What does that mean? He's given the analogy that when God is reforming us, it's like the baby. We were once formed in our mother's womb like a child. And how many of us have seen the ultrasounds? They didn't even have that when I was, you know, a kid. You're going to have a boy. Why? You're carrying it low. You're going to have a girl. Why? You're carrying it high. Not today. You can go in at 8 weeks and, you know, oh, they'll be able to tell sex in another week or two. They bring CDs home. My kids brought CDs home of their babies. It's like, okay, that looks like a peanut. Okay, that looks like a squirrely little thing. You know, why? The baby's being formed. But it has not yet been known what it will be because the baby hasn't been born. He says the same analogy takes place in our lives. We are now being children of God, belong to His family. Scripture calls it born again. But we haven't experienced the fullness of being born again. Why? We are being formed into what we will be. And someday we will be birthed into that. And he says the whole creation groans as in childbirth too, waiting for its decay to stop. it to be reformed into what God designed for it. Sin and the fake news the enemy has given us and the fake news we live under oftentimes in our head, we tell ourselves stories. And they're not all good stories. They're not all true stories. And we live those out, it's damaging to us and our soul. So we're spiritually disconnected. We're physically decaying. The creation around us is decaying. But someday it won't. Someday it'll be brought into the glory of the children of God. What is that? It'll be resurrected. And then heaven will join the earth. God himself will be with his people. It'll be a glorious time. That's what resurrection. So if God's got all that, I'm pretty sure he can handle your stuff. Your living issues. Human beings are weird. You know, when it comes to our thinking, we think we can do so much in a year. And that's why we oftentimes fail and quit. But we think we can do so little in 2 decades. Oh, that's way out there. That'll never happen. No, dude. Step by step by step by step. You can accomplish great things in a couple decades. God has taken a long time to reform and to bring in people to his kingdom and all the other stuff. Hey, listen. Don't get lost in the shortness of stuff and bypass the work of the reward over the long haul. Most people build their careers over decades, not years. Relax. Handle business now. Why? Because you're marching towards death and God's got a plan. He doesn't need dead Joe helping him out. He sees what's going on. And here's the great news. When this resurrection in its fullness takes place, it will be glorious. In fact, John tells us this in 1 John 3:2. He says, "Dear friends, now we are children of God. Now we are the children of God. We are being formed." You're not fully formed into who God has. You're a child of God. But in God's perspective, you're still in the womb state. Ultimately, we will be birthed into the fullness of what God has for us. You know, you're the youngest of all God's people that he's ever made. You're the youngest. Every other saint living in heaven is older than you. When we see death is so abnormal to us that we have to justify it somehow in our mind. We have to say, well, you know, at least they lived a long life. And we think that's still very painful. But, you know, they lived to 90 years old and they experienced life. And we're trying to get okay. That's why we're tripped out when death takes young people, children. Because to us, that isn't even fair. Listen, it's a tough place. This is a tough place to be. The womb is a tough place to be. It's dependent on many factors. When you are in the womb of God, all the nourishment, everything you need is being given to you. Life isn't happening to you, it's happening for you. Not happening to you. You're not a victim of life. Your victimhood and stuff in life has made you stronger. You didn't have the challenges and the junk in your life, you wouldn't be a strong person. That shows how credibly and strong you are. I saw something the other night that just so resonated with me. A person was complaining about how their parents were, you know, so bad. And it was bad. I'm not minimizing horrific upbringings, and it was horrific. But the guy said, well, how old are you? And, 26 years old, and okay. And the person said, well, I can't take any more. I'm 26 years old. I can't take any more. He goes, you're crazy. You can take decades more. I know people that carry this stuff forever. Don't give up so quick. You want to carry the junk? Carry the junk. But let me tell you this. Here's a good thing you might want to do. If you're going to give them all the credit for all the bad stuff, Then give him the credit for the good stuff. You're incredibly strong. You're a survivor. You've been given a heart of compassion. You care about the pains of others, or you wouldn't even be here. Give him that credit then. Give him the credit for the tough stuff. If you've been hurt by people, it's also done some positive stuff in your life. It hasn't been all bad. That bad changed you in good ways. Perhaps you would never be as compassionate if you didn't know the depth of pain. Thank him for that. That's a resurrection right there. But listen what he also says in Philippians, speaking of God, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, even death, he will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. You will get a glorious body. He's producing. But right now, in where you're at in this world, if you have Jesus, you are spiritually alive. That's been reconnected. Your body is still going to decay because it's not designed to live forever in this decaying world. This whole world is decaying. It's going to decay. It's going to leave. In the meantime, though, your soul is being restored. He is bringing you to that place. That's what transformation is. It's the restoring of our soul to its proper functioning, and that's a process. Because God doesn't eliminate you in it. He has to work with you through it, and he changes the way you look at life. And the experiences he allows into your life are all designed in the forming factor. And then the Holy Spirit starts to work that. The body's already taken care of. Whether he takes any of us today or whether he lets us all live to 90 or he decides to come back, it's all his business. We're getting a new body. And he says it will be like his glorious body. Then he says this, and so will it be with the in 1 Corinthians 15:42, we're told this, and so will it be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown, the body you've been given now, is perishable. It's perishing. It will be raised imperishable. Can you imagine every morning getting up and going, what is the adventure today in my life? I think I'll go hang out with some angels. Sometimes I'm not sure what face to look at because some of them have four faces. Some of them have wings all over and eyes all over. But see, you are a human being. Angels who are missed. Some of you know, give your angels a break, some of you guys in here. You know, slow down, Turbo. Let's just take it a little bit slower here. But imagine the angels going, human beings sure look funny. They're so different than us. Well, they got eyes all over their body. You know, the Bible tells us that. You and I are in a world, are heading towards a world of amazement. And Scripture says God will always be revealing his glory, which is another word you could use for glory sometimes is advertisement. He's going to continue to advertise his wisdom, his creativity. A lot of the giftings you and I have been given that are in the image of God, we're image bearers. We're image bearers of Jesus. It's going to be incredible. It's not going to be the most boring existence. It's going to be the most fulfilling existence. It's going to be awesome. Even Job knew this when he was dying in his state of decay in his body. He said this in Job 19:25. He says, I know that my Redeemer lives. I know this will be redeemed. It will be brought back. He goes, and that in the end, he, speaking of God, will stand on the earth. And after my skin, this body I'm in now, is destroyed. And it was on its way to being destroyed. He says, yet in my flesh, yet I'll have another body. I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes, I and not another. It will not be the news I hear of another person saying we're going to see God, the retelling of that news. He says, I will see him. I will be able to tell the story myself, even though now I'm in a decaying and I'm believing what I don't see. But if you continue to read the story, God does appear to him, restores him to health, gives him everything. But his whole perspective on God and life and all that pain changed him in a good way. Ultimately, he lost nothing, gained more. We got a good thing going, gang. Don't just celebrate it on one day a year. Every time you breathe, that's a breath that someday in this journey is going to end. But it will be restored. How would you like to wake up every day fit today? Man, that was a great sleep last night. Just like every night. Wonderful. And if you don't sleep, I'm not tired. Everything you eat, delicious. Satisfying. You know, that was just enough. Because for many of us, just enough is too much. You know, we eat and eat. You know it takes 20 minutes for your brain to realize that your body's satiated in food? That's why 20 minutes after you eat and eat and eat, it's like, oh God, I gotta go to bed. I'm in a coma. I'm gonna get in a coma. That's why our insulin, you know, everything starts decaying. It's like, whoa, buddy. Anyway, we won't have to deal with that. Resurrection's a good thing. Resurrection's a good thing. And Ephesians 1:13 tells us this, and you also were included in Christ. What were we included in Christ? Well, the big one is we included in his resurrection. In him, death leaves us, resurrection inhabits us. It's going to happen. He says, listen, you were included in Christ when you heard the message, the true news, the real news of this gospel, which is what? Good news. The gospel of your salvation, which means your healing. When you believed this news, and you said, I'm going to stand in that news. It's going to be my news. I'm going to stand in it. He says, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit, came in and sealed you. And this seal is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. What is our inheritance? Well, there's a number of inheritances. But one of the big ones is resurrection. You don't get your body back. You're not fully human. That's not a good inheritance. Get so quiet. You guys following me? All right. He says, this is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until when? Until the redemption. Everybody else. You know all the people in heaven right now? They're waiting for all the rest of us and whoever else God's going to call in so they can get this body back. They have their heavenly body. It's a material thing. It's not an earthly body. One of the reasons the demonic wants to inhabit the earthly bodies is because they don't have them. And they want everything God wants. They want to have everything God has. So he says, until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. And in Romans 8:11, we're told this, and if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead, that Holy Spirit who comes in, that raised Jesus up and now inhabits us and guaranteeing will be raised up, he says, is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of a spirit who lives in you. I got a visual. I've done it before, but I want you guys to get it again. Can we give a hand for Vanna? My wonderful helper, faithful and true. Chris is amazing, huh? Can we give him a hand? I am so blessed to have this brother co-laboring. All right, so let's do this. This is you. This is Christ. When you believed, some of you have seen this before, but visuals, you need to hold on to this. We are put into Christ. What he has, we have. What belongs to him belongs to us. and we get our resurrection body that he has. It'll be glorious. We don't know what it'll be like because we're still in formation like a child in the womb. Then he says this, then we get the Holy Spirit, who Scripture refers to as living water. We now go from dead and stagnant to living. And this water fills us in Christ. And this water, this living water, Holy Spirit, whose job is to teach and guide and to lead us into all righteousness, convict us of wrongdoing, to become now the source of putting our soul together, which will include relationships, our purpose in this earth, the reconnecting to what God has for us. Then he says it is sealed. It is literally sealed. And this sealing is the guarantee that God will get the delivery of us to him. And we inherit all that Jesus has, for we are in him. You don't have to do anything. It's he does. Now, you guys get that? That's right. And we haven't even, you haven't been taken out, because the Bible says the Lord will be with us. He will. But when you come out of him with your own resurrected body, yet still be in him, you will be a magnificent being. Fully connected to God, the spiritual realm, this new earth, the inhabitation. That's why people say, I don't know, the Bible doesn't say animals will be resurrected. It says all creation's crying. There's going to be animals. Why? That was what we were designed to hang around. Yeah, I'm going to make the new earth, except it's not going to be like the new earth. Well, then it's not the new earth. I'm going to give you a new car, but it's going to be a bicycle. Then it's not a new car. Amen? So settle that in your hearts. I don't know about, you know, rats and that kind of, I don't know about that, but you rat lovers will probably be there. They'll be good rats. Anyway, but on this journey to our destination, to our temporary home in heaven, till we are returned to our permanent home through the temporary home, we go through stuff. But see, Jesus never loses. See, this is what's going on inside of us, but look how steady Jesus is. He's not tripping at all. He's in a good place. And what tends to happen is we start to think inside of us, I better go back to dead Joe's way. Why? Because I don't understand what God's doing. I don't get what he's doing. I don't get it. And he's not shaking at all, and you're still sealed, and no water drips out. That's because we can't even make good seals. We can't make nothing perfect. And he's going to get us there. So what do we do in the meantime? Well, Paul says we're living epistles. That's why your story in Christ, sealed by the Holy Spirit, the transformation that people see. It's the best part of pastoring, is to see God take somebody who I know is in what state they are in and see the transformation that the Holy Spirit does in their lives. My admonition to you guys is don't go sideways on it. Don't think you can do more in a year than you can do in a decade. Because we have that kind of broken thinking. I got to get it all now. I got to have it finished now. I got to move now. Well, you know what that thinking does? It causes you to use your thinking. And then when you're thinking, you take a bad situation and you make it worse. I don't know if that's worse, but it... The point being... Don't be an idiot and say you're in Christ and live in such a way that people go, I don't think so. Amen? Don't say you work at the happiest place on earth and you're like the saddest person in it. And this is the thing. You ain't going to be the janitor in the kingdom of God. I see these guys at Disneyland. I'm on the Disneyland kick today. Like they go around sweeping the stuff, you know, and it's cool. It's a job. I get it. It's all right. But it's like, I don't want to be in the happiest place in the universe, in heaven, and that's my job. You know what? And this is the beauty. What you sow in this life. See, when God resurrects it all, you come with a bank account. Everything you do towards the kingdom of God is returned to you. And the Bible tells us it's returned multiple times. You get interest on it. This whole month we're going to be talking about empty, and we'll be talking about our wallets and money. I know, it's like, oh God. What Sunday is that, Joe? It ain't a bad thing. It's just our fake news. It tells us it's a bad thing. When we come to the new earth, we bring an inheritance with us of what we've done on the old earth. And it establishes whether we're leaders, whether we're servants, whatever it is. God will use that skill, what has been formed in you. See, when you come out, form what is different in the new birth and in the new world is this. There is no deformities. In our world, babies can be deformed. They can have all kinds of disabilities. Every child of God that will be birthed in the new world will be completely formed perfect. No frailties. And then we will continue to learn and grow and move forward in the life God has for us. And everything you do with an understanding of that big picture and the way you handle everything you've been given, because the Bible tells us you're managers on this earth. You're managing God's kingdom. But you have to start by managing yourself. You can't manage yourself. Why would God add someone else into your life? So manage what you have. God will reward it, and He'll continue to increase that. And you're going to be learning this whole journey. I'm still learning so much. Life is meant to be an adventure for us. Don't rule your own life. Let the Holy Spirit lead you, and then be brave to walk in it. Because if you're sealed by the Holy Spirit, He's going to speak to you. The water is going to move in you through His word, through your conscience, through circumstances, other people. God's going to do His deal. How many know what I'm saying? How many are up for that? All right, why don't we stand up? Look, you are a letter of Christ, Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 3:3. You show that you are a letter of Christ. You are the news of this generation to this generation of God. Tell the story well. Don't be giving them fake news. Don't be proclaiming Jesus, and then when trouble comes your way, you act like you never heard of the guy. That is, there's something wrong with that news. You're sending two news letters. Send one. Life is hard. I don't get it. I don't understand it. I don't get God's timing. He does. I'm good. That's attractive to someone that's been living by fake news, that you'll be happy if everything goes okay. They have the fake news. You'll be happy if you get Mr. Right, Mrs. Right. You'll be happy if she would just change. He would just be nice. Yada, 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 yada. It's all fake news. Life sucks, gets used to it, and it has good times. But God's in charge. And there's a purpose to your life. There's a purpose to go through stuff. It makes you stronger, better. But you got to learn from it, or else you get to go through it. Yes. The Holy Spirit does this. Did they learn? No. Dang it, Chris. See, we can't even make glass right. Scrap that on that video right there. I think we get the point here. Is anyone a doctor? Nobody come up here. Thank God it's not a 1 o'clock service. All right. Well, we were going to, let's do the breathing thing again. I think I can use it. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Can we just raise our hand to heaven? Lord Jesus, say it, repeat it. I thank you for the resurrection of my body, the resurrection of my soul, the resurrection and reconnection of my spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Now help me, God, to follow your Holy Spirit as he journeys me toward home. Let me rest in the journey, because you got it all covered. You've sealed it. You sealed my life. Make me a person who reflects being in you, knowing you by the way I live my life in this generation. For I am the news about the good news that people will see. Make my life a reflection of good news, authentic news, in the retelling your story in my spheres of influence. In the good times, in the hard times, in the disappointing times, in the amazing times, all the time. And all God's kids said? Amen. All right, God bless you guys.